Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 15. I hoped to get through this chapter last week, but I saw we just weren't going to make it, so I stopped, and we'll try to finish it up today. Revelation 15:4, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. And this particular verse here in verse 4, he tells us about men and women coming to worship the Lord and glorify his name in the fear of the Lord because his judgments were made manifest to them. Now, everybody that truly worships the Lord has had God's judgments made manifest to him. Now, these judgments of which he speaks here are judgments that's going on and have been going on for hundreds and thousands of years. But in particular, with the believer who comes to worship God, it is the manifest judgment of God upon his Son. He sees the judgment of God against sin. He sees it first in his Son dying on the cross. And then he sees that judgment as it falls on individuals all over the world. And what's taking place here, the picture that John is giving us, this vision that he saw, what was taking place was a wholesale forsaking of the glory of God in the salvation of sinners through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, in almost every movie that Hollywood has ever made about the apocalypse, the end of time, nearly every movie, and I know these things are fictitious, and Hollywood knows they're fictitious, but it's telling about how men really think in their mind about those days. And in almost everyone that I've ever seen, It portrays the world without religion. Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying. It portrays the world with the churches are laying in ruin and men are groveling around like a bunch of cavemen and they're robbing one another and killing one another and just taking what they can get, and religion is not even in it at all. But that's not what John sees. This is not how the Spirit of God reveals these days to John. Religion flourishes. Religion is represented both in the beast and the harlot. Religion in the beast and the harlot even portrays its connection with the beast, which represents the world governments. It's not the absence of religion that brings upon the world the judgments of God, but the presence of it. Now, that's what John's seeing. He's seeing a wholesale rejection of the glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Men have just turned thumbs down on it. Men have turned away from it. Men have rejected it, and that's what John's seeing here. John pictures this world having fully committed themselves to false religion. They bear its name proudly. Proudly. Willingly and visually, they bear its number in their heads and in their hands. 666. Now, I'm not talking about literally, I'm talking about figuratively here. And that six is the number of man. And all he's saying here is that they bear publicly, willingly, audaciously, they bear a religion of man, man, man. That's what it's about. You know, in Revelation 17, he speaks again about this beast rising up out of the pit. And he says, all the earth stands in wonder of him. The whole earth stands in wonder of this beast, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And then John says, this picture shows this. Just when the power and the influence of the beast seems insurmountable, you look at what's going on around you and it just looks insurmountable. What could I do? It reminds me of a man going over to the high river and taking a cup and sticking it down in the river. You can't even tell that anything was missing. And religion, false religion, just seems insurmountable. And when it does, to his people, God manifests his glory. And rather than seeing the kingdom of God being swallowed up by the beast, we see the judgment of God being poured out upon the beast and his followers. What we once saw as the powerful workings of Antichrist now appears as the hand of God pouring out his wrath upon those who love not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Look at verse 5 here in Revelation 15. He said, after that I looked and beheld the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. It was opened up. Now let me see if I can help you here. The kingdom of Christ is sometimes called the kingdom of God. And it's sometimes called the kingdom of heaven. And God's church is a heavenly kingdom. I know he sets up his kingdom in our heart, his authority. I know that. But everything that's beneficial to the church is in heaven. Is that right? It's in heaven. It's a heavenly kingdom. He describes them as the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. They're told to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. They're told to set their affection on things above and not on things of the earth. When our Lord comforted his disciples before he went to the cross, he said this. He said, I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Bible said every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. You see what I'm saying? This is a heavenly kingdom. Religion looks for its perks, it looks for its advantages, it looks for its goals and things down here. But the church of the living God, all of its goals and all of its treasures and everything's up there. He said, don't look down here. That's not where it is. It's up there. Don't lay up treasures on the earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. The church looks not on the things here, which everybody sees, but at the invisible things which only God's elect can see. They see these things. And God's kingdom is a heavenly kingdom whose king resides in heaven and whose power and dominion reaches down from heaven even unto hell itself. He rules. Well, what's all that got to do with this verse? Well, nothing is going to be opened there. There's not going to be opened here. And nothing going to be opened here that hadn't first been opened there. That's what it has to do with it. There, this tabernacle of the testimony, which is in heaven, was opened. And it's not going to be opened here unless it's opened there. Now, when gospel preachers are sent of God, it's an evidence of the opening of the temple or tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. He's opening it up. He's declaring before you that which has been hidden from the foundation of the world. How often did Paul say that? These mysteries, he said, that I'm declaring to you, They've been hidden since the foundation of the world. And if a man appears and he begins to promote himself and his own ways and his own ideas and his own goals, you can ignore that man. You can just ignore him. But if a man comes and brings to you the testimony of God concerning his son, you better give that man a hearing. You better sit down, shut up, and listen to what he has to say. It could be that what he's telling you is coming from heaven itself. That man could be there by divine decree and providence. And if he is, he carries with him the testimony of God. All right, look here in Revelation 15:6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, this temple that was opened in heaven, having the seven plagues. God opened his temple in heaven, and these angels or preachers are being sent out, and they're carrying with them, these seven men are carrying, each one has a plague he carries. They're clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And these seven angels, these gospel preachers, they come out of the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony and bearing the mercy and grace of God in the gospel. That's how we think about preachers, isn't it? They've got good news. They're coming. Blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. They're coming with blessings of mercy, with good news, with unlocked mysteries. That's how we think about preachers. But when we think about plagues, we don't think about preachers, do we? I guarantee you Pharaoh thought about it after he heard what Moses had to say. Plagues accompanied him. He come down with God's news. Let my people go. All he had to do was let them go. Wouldn't do it. What happened? Huh? God sent plague after plague after plague on Pharaoh. God's preachers have come and they're bearing good news. But for the unbeliever, for those who reject him, those who won't listen to him, those who won't submit to him, those who won't account them as messengers of God, and they reject that truth, they won't listen to that truth, they harden their hearts, they won't receive God's message, what happens to them? A plague. A plague. What kind of plague? You mean they get polio or something? They get leprosy? What happens to them? No, they get the plague of unbelief. Unbelief. Paul said to those at Antioch who wouldn't receive him, he got up and preached to them this good news to these Jews, and them Jews went down and stirred up the people and said nasty things about Paul and just did everything to try to tear down that message that he preached. And Paul said, you be careful that don't come on you, which was written by the prophet. He said, you be careful now, because they won't believe though a man stand and declare it to them. They won't believe it. Is that not a plague? They carry also the plagues of God. At the very end of the book of Revelation, this revelation of Jesus Christ that we're studying, he says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. This book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, salvation in Him by the sovereign grace of God, salvation through His blood, salvation through His righteousness alone, salvation through faith. Now you add to that, I'm warning you, you add to that or you take away from that. If any man do these things, God shall add unto him the plagues written in this book. To not receive his testimony of these things is to make you worthy of the plagues of his judgment and wrath, and to alter his testimony by adding to it our own works and experiences, our own feelings, our own dreams and visions, or anything else, is to mark yourself out worthy of the plagues which God accompanies with his preachers. All right, Revelation 15:7. One of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Now, the only time that I've ever heard the word vial in my lifetime, in common language, the word vial. I didn't do a word study on this. I didn't go to the dictionary. I'm just telling you, what I've heard in my lifetime, the only time I've ever heard this word vial used is in science class or at the doctor's office. And in both cases, it's talking about a container that's used to measure a certain amount of whatever he puts in it. A vial. And something that you may not know about the wrath of God, his wrath is never pictured as a passionate outburst. You know, we're all human, and we're all sinners by nature. And everybody's got somebody they know or went to school with or work with or a relative or somebody who just don't know when to quit. And they aggravate and aggravate and aggravate, and you take it and you take it and you take it till you can't take it anymore. Boom! You have a meltdown and you turn around, and before he knows what's happened, you're all over him. That's a passionate outburst. God's not that way. God's not that way. His wrath is never pictured in the scriptures as a passionate outburst. His wrath is justly calculated. And it's measured. It's measured to suit the transgression. The wrath carried by gospel preachers is suited for those who reject God's gospel and refuse to receive or embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. They turn it away. They reject it. They won't have anything to do with it. We will not have this man to reign over us. When those Jews took Peter aside and those that was with him, they warned him. They said, "Don't you preach in this name anymore." Well, was it right to obey you or obey God? Peter said, "You figure that out. We cannot but tell the things which we've both seen and heard. That's what we're going to do. You do what you want to do." This wrath is measured. It's calculated. He told those Jews, our Lord did. He came and preached in his own country to those who knew him as he was raised there, worked in his daddy's carpenter shop. They knew who he was. And they listened to him, and they wondered at the gracious words I told you last week that fell out of his mouth. They just wondered at it. And then they said, "Ain't this Joseph's son, a married boy?" And here's what he told them. He said, "It's going to be easier on you. And it's going to be easier on them in Sodom and Gomorrah at the judgment than it's going to be for you. Because if they'd seen what you seen and heard what you heard, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But you've seen the Son of God. You've heard from the mouth of the Son of God, and you rejected it. You follow what I'm saying? Now here's what he says about his preachers. He that heareth you heareth me. Now you know this. These vials of wrath, these are golden containers. They're not glass. They're golden containers. One man said they're bowls. I don't know enough about the original language to say that that's what it was or not. I don't know. He took that from the symbols given back in the old tabernacle, but I don't know what they are. I just know they're vials, and they're full of measured wrath. And this wrath is measured. I can't even tell you how much greater that wrath would be that's here described as a plague is poured out on those who will not have this gospel. It's suited for those who reject God's gospel and refuse to receive and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, and there cannot be a more heinous crime than to trod underfoot the Son of God. What could be more heinous than that to God? That you trod underfoot the Son of God, you disregard his covenant blood altogether, cast it aside, and do despite unto the Spirit of grace. You won't even receive the things of the Spirit of God, preaching the Word of God, won't receive it. Won't receive it. You do despite to the Spirit of God. Now he said those that transgressed under two or three witnesses under Moses' law, they took them out and stoned them to death. He said, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall they be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God? Those who will not believe manifest a total regard for the Word of God. They manifest a willing rebellion against the commandments of the Lord and a wholesale rejection of the ways and means of God. We ain't gonna have it. We ain't gonna have it. And here in our text, these vials are made of pure gold. Of pure gold to show us the divine source of it. These vials that they carry were given to them. It's not the wrath of the preacher that he carries. This bowl, this container, this vial was given to him. He just brings what God gave him. And it's of gold to show us the unmixed purity of it. In the chapter before this, chapter 14, we saw that. He pours out unmixed wrath. So this is to show us the purity of this wrath. And it's of gold to show us the glory of God in it. This is not a hateful thing. This is not something that the preacher sets out to do. It's something that follows what you won't do. It's a judgment. It's a plague. It's a vial filled with wrath. All right, Revelation 15, 8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now we believe in and worship the sovereign Lord of glory. Not only is his temple filled with grace and mercy, but also with power and glory. There was a time in that tabernacle when Moses could go in, and there was a time when he had to stand afar off. When that Shekinah glory of God filled that temple, you didn't go in. You didn't go in. And there's perhaps two lessons to be learned here. First, that the wicked shall not enter in or destroy the temple of God. He can't do it. It's filled with the glory of God. He said, my church, the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And then secondly, that because of their continuous and willful disregard of the gospel, God has forbidden them to enter into his kingdom and to enter into his temple. Now that's what the verse says. They could not go in. He tells us this over in the book of Proverbs. He said the scorners delight in their scorning. They delight, they love to do it. Makes them happy to do it. They delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Try to teach a fool something. You can't teach him anything. He hates knowledge. Now the Lord said, turn ye at my reproof. You turn. That's another word for repentance. You turn at my reproof. If you do, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. Because I've called and you refused. Isn't that what happened? The gospel was preached. Some believed and some didn't. Some delighted in it. Some didn't. Some embraced Christ. Some didn't. He said, I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand. Can you imagine God himself stretching out his hand? And you pulled yours back. Huh? Isn't that what he's talking about here? I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You said it not all my counsel. And you would none of my reproof. Now the Lord said, I'll laugh at your calamity. Calamity's coming. Oh yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Then you're going to call on me. That's what he says. He said, when your fear cometh, I'll mock you. Then you're going to call on me, but I won't answer. You'll seek me early then. 4 o'clock in the morning, you'll call on my name, but I won't hear you. I won't hear you. You'll seek me early, but you won't find me. You wouldn't have my counsel. You despised all my reproof. Therefore shall you eat of the fruit of your own way and be filled with your own devices. Those things that you, all them foolish jokes and all that foolish nonsense and all that rejection and mocking and all that stuff you did to God, you're going to eat that. In Hebrews chapter 3, he uses the provocation of those in the wilderness who hardened their hearts against God. And his servant tells us that he was grieved with them and sware in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest. Now he said, the Holy Ghost said, you listen to me now, harden not your hearts. When the Spirit of God speaks to you, you don't harden your heart. You listen. You listen. You obey. You follow His word. Take heed, brethren. He said, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And I'm telling you this, you can laugh and mock and shake your head and disgust if you want to. People have and people will. But when they do, they manifest the judgment of God on this unbelieving world. And that's what this chapter is talking about here in Revelation. These vials of wrath, these plagues that follow these preachers that came out of an open temple in heaven. And they came and brought the word of God, and you just more or less spit on it and went your way. Went your way. And now that wrath is poured out. People with eyes see it. I can see it. I see it every day. I see it. I see it all around. And it makes me wonder like Paul, Lord, lest I preach to others and find myself a castaway. I see the danger of it. I see it all around me. I see it everywhere. everywhere. Oh, may the Lord allow us to see it and avoid it and listen when God speaks.